In alhamdulillah, all praises due to Allah Ta'ala. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. We praise him. We seek his help and we ask for his forgiveness. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. We seek refuge with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and from the evil consequences of our actions. That we recognize that we have, Allah has given us a choice in what we do, and that those choices that we make, that they have consequences. And so although Allah has given us a choice in terms of the actions that we do, that we have no choice in the consequences. And so we seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil choices that we make and from the evil consequences of those choices. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu. Whomever Allah guides, no one and nothing can lead that person astray. Wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. And whomever he leads astray because of that person's own wretchedness, because of the choices that that person made, because of his oppression of other people, and not from any oppression from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then no one else and nothing else, if Allah leads that person astray, no one else and nothing else can give that person guidance. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. And I bear witness that nothing is deserving of worship except Allah alone and without partner. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. O you who believe, fear Allah as he deserves to be feared. And say what is correct. Say what is appropriate. Say what is best. Say what is accurate. يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And if you do so, then Allah will rectify your situations and he will forgive you your sins. وَمَنْ يُطَعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. And whoever is obedient to Allah and his messenger at all times, when it's convenient and when it's not convenient, when we want to, and when our nafs wants to do something else, whoever is obedient to Allah and his messenger, it is they and only they who have achieved the greatest success. Brothers and sisters in Islam, a person examines this dunya. He examines this dunya and he reads the Quran. And he recognizes that oppression is a part of human life. SubhanAllah, Allah mentions in his book, and it's important again, from the lessons of Ramadan, is the importance of having a connection with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That those who are striving for at-taqwa, those who are striving for righteousness, who are striving to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran is the guide. If we want taqwa, if we want something else, then Allah will leave you to what you choose for yourself. Nuwallihi ma tawalla. We will leave him to what he's left for himself, what he's chosen for himself. But if you want a taqwa, if you want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want al-hayat al-sa'ida, if you want a happy life, then the guide for that is the Qur'an. Alif lam mim, thalika al-kitabu la rayba fi, hudan lil-muttaqeen. That is the book. There's no doubt that it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a guide for the muttaqeen. It's not simply a guide for religious actions and situations, if we can divide things into religious and non-religious. It is a guide for every aspect of life, every decision that a person wants to make. The Quran is a guide for that individual. And so as a person reads the Quran and reflects on the Quran, he recognizes that dhulm, that oppression, is a part of human life. There is no way to escape in this life the existence of oppression. And the greatest evidence of that is that, as Allah says in the Quran, as Allah says in Surah Luqman, "Inna shirka la dhulmun azim." That shirk, that associating partners with Allah, that worshiping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is great. This is huge, enormous oppression. This is the great oppression. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the greatest right over humanity. If Rabbul Alameen doesn't get justice from his creation, if the Lord, the exalted Lord, fa'alun lima yurid, the one who does whatever he wants, the one who could punish all of humanity if he so chose at this very moment, the one who could force people and compel people to do whatever he wants them to do, if he does not get justice, if his creation is not going to be just with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how does any created being expect to get justice in this life. SubhanAllah, on the day of judgment, as mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the justice will be established on the day of judgment between the deer or the ram with big horns and the one with small horns or no horns at all. And the fact that this big sheep or ram or deer was able to bully around this smaller deer or the one that didn't have such big horns, that justice will be established between them on the day of judgment. It helps us to bring to mind that justice is not going to be here. Justice is going to be established on the day of judgment. Pure justice, real justice, lasting justice, where people get exactly what they deserve. And that doesn't mean that we don't strive for justice in this dunya. But a part of sometimes what makes us upset and what gets us bothered and makes us overreact is when we have unrealistic expectations. And so we don't just accept oppression, but we also don't expect for justice to be established in its full and perfect way in this life. And this is why you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about Himself and He talks about the day of judgment, He mentions that there will be no oppression at all on that day. From the phrases that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in the Quran, la zulma al-yawm. La zulma, that la there is what we call la an-nafiya lil-jins. And this la, when you see la, and then behind it is a word that has one fatha, like la ilaha illallah, la hawla, wa la quwwata illa billah. When you see la, and then there's a word behind it with one fatha, that means in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And so Allah says, la zulm al-yawm. There will be no oppression at all. Not from Allah, not from the creation, not in any shape or form on this day. Which helps us to understand that in this dunya, there's going to be oppression. So we expect it. We're not happy with it, but we expect it. And subhanAllah, for the Muslim, we don't expect justice to be had in this life, and we don't want it in the next. Allahu Akbar. On the day of judgment, you don't want justice, and I don't want it either. Because if Allah is just with us, we're going to hell. What we want on the day of judgment is mercy. Allahu Akbar. We want Allah to forgive us. We want Allah to overlook the oppression that we do in our worship of Him, our shortcomings in worshiping Him. We don't expect full justice in this life, and we don't want it on the day of judgment. The Muslim has to always, when fitna happens, the Muslim has something from a tarayyuth. He has a little bit here. He has some self-restraint. He looks and reflects and thinks about what Allah wants from him in this situation. And this is what we learned, a part of what we learned in fasting. It's not about doing what we want to do and just reacting because we feel like reacting. It's about taking our time and examining the situation because we want to do what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu, collected in Sahih Muslim, and also collected in the 40 hadith of Imam an-Nawawi. Those 40 hadith, they are amazing ahadith. And if a person, as some of the scholars have mentioned, if a person were to learn the 40 hadith of Imam an-Nawawi that he collected, rahimahullah, and to apply those to his life, wallahi, they're sufficient. If a person knew, memorized, committed himself to learning the 40 hadith, and to applying the principles of those 40 hadith. Because they're a hadith, yani min jawami al-kalim. They're from the comprehensive statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they underline the principles of Islam. And Imam an-Nawawi, at the end of his book Al-Athkar, he mentions the ahadith allati taduru alayha al-Islam. He mentions the hadith that Islam, yani these are the principles around which Islam revolves. And many of the hadith from the 40 hadith that he collected are found in that last chapter of Kitab al-Athkar. And so I encourage you, yani a part of how we deal with oppression is by learning what Allah says and learning what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says so that we know how to deal with things when they happen. From the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam collected in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ra'a minkum munkiran munkaran, فليغيره بيده. Whoever sees an evil, then let him change it with his hands. فإن لم يستطيع فبلسانه. And if he cannot, then with his tongue. وإن لم يستطيع فبيده. And if he cannot, then with his فبقلبه. Then with his heart. وذلك أضعف الإيمان. And that is the weakest. That is the minimal level of faith. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. And so from Islam, from Iman, is hating to see evil. It's from Iman. And what that means is that the person that hates evil for the sake of Allah, it's worship. Anything that is from the khisal of Iman, anything that is from the qualities of Iman is worship. And so hating evil and hating oppression and hating wrong is from Iman. And if it's worship, that means it's also bound by the conditions of worship. And the ulama mentioned that the conditions of worship, the two main conditions of worship, is al-ikhlas wal-mutaba'ah. Is that a person be sincere and that a person follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so we hate oppression. We hate to see wrong in all of its forms. Not some forms as opposed to others. We hate all forms of oppression. But when it comes to how we react to that oppression, we are bound by sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned in the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when his son died, a very sad day, his son Ibrahim, when his son died alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-aynu tadma' wal-qalbu yahzan. وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبَّنَا. He said, the heart gets sad and the eyes might tear up, they might cry. But we only say what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The idea is, regardless of how we feel, we are bound by our Islam to do what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the very first thing that a Muslim does when he feels something inside and he wants to react, he has to look at his intention. We mentioned in our last khutbah that from the lessons of Ramadan is the focus on intention. And that it's not something that you say. And it's not something that you have to sit and squint about. That a person stops and he or she looks at, why am I doing or why do I want to do what I want to do? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Because not everybody's intention is the same. Even if the action is the same. Everybody's intentions are different. And you're only going to get out of your action what you intend. More than that, you're only going to get Allah's help. You're only going to get Allah's help if you're doing it for His sake. If you're doing it for yourself, Allah's going to leave you to you. But if you're doing it for Him, then you will find Allah's support. And so when we react to oppressive situations, we have to really examine why. Is it so that we can be seen? Is it so that people don't say negative things about us? Is it because our friends and other people are saying something? Or is it because we genuinely feel like this is going to bring a better result? Do we want something to post on our Facebook page because we haven't had something to post in a long time because we've been in our homes? Or do we think that our actions are really going to make a difference? This is what we have to look at. And you are accountable for yourself. Not the imam, not your family members, you. You are going to be questioned on the day of judgment about your actions. Not me. I won't be questioned about you. لا تسألون عما أجرمنا ولا نسأل عما تعملون. You will not be questioned about my crimes. And I will not be questioned about what you do. Every person will be accountable for himself. And so every person has to take that seriously. Again, it's not about emotions. It's not about reactions. It's about doing what's pleasing to Allah. Doing it for the right reason. Trying to make Allah happy in our actions. And we recognize that oppression is a part of the history of those who wanted to establish this religion. If we read the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the seerah of the early Muslims, they were oppressed. And if we look at our situation and we consider it to be oppression, read the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we will begin to understand what oppression is. You think about Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu and how his mother died with a spear in her vagina. And there was nothing that the family of Yasir could do about it. Sabran ya ala Yasir. Be patient, family of Yasir. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the family of Ammar ibn Yasir to do. This is what they had to face. Oppression so great, they left their land. Many of the members of this community are immigrants. You know firsthand what it's like to leave your land, to leave family, to leave friends, to leave comfort, to leave everything familiar, and to have to make your way all over again, to start from scratch. It's rough. If you never had to do it, you probably don't want to do it. It's a rough situation. This is what the Muslims were compelled to do. And they did it numerous occasions. They went to Abyssinia, and then they came back, and it got even tougher. So they went again. And then they went to Al-Madinah. And it was a difficult situation because of the illness and the poverty that was there. What were they trying to escape? Trying to escape oppression. All they wanted to do was worship Allah. All they wanted to do was worship Allah, to establish justice. The worship of Allah is justice. And they were oppressed. And there was no short-term change to that oppression. It took years. We have to think about that. The best message, Islam. The greatest justice, Islam. With the greatest messenger, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With the greatest people, the Sahaba. And change did not happen until 23 years later. There was no quick fix to the oppression that they were facing. And so we have to be realistic in our expectations. There's no quick fix to the wrong that we see around us. But the primary way that we strive to fix it is by establishing Islam. Real Islam. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dukhulu fis silmi kaffa. O you who believe, enter into Islam fully. Be Muslims all the time in every way, shape, and form. When you're at home, when you're at work, in the streets, by yourself, in the car, be a Muslim all the time. If you help Allah, if you help His religion, Allah will help you. If you believe that you are going to do it yourself, if you believe that you, individual, are the vehicle of change, you are mistaken. But if you want Allah's help, and that's the only way that things are going to change, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. If you want real change, change begins with you and you practicing Islam and you wanting to see Islam practice, and that you realize that any time that Islam is not practiced, that is oppression. Allah says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, we like to only apply this ayat to leaders, but it involves every single Muslim. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ. Men, whoever, doesn't specify. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ. Whoever does not put into practice what Allah has revealed, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Whoever does not establish, does not judge by what Allah has revealed in every aspect of his life, those are the oppressors. Those are the oppressors. And so we get mad. We get upset when we see people oppressed. And we get mad and we get upset when people sin. When we see shirk, when we see people worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you get upset? Are you bothered by that? Can you not sleep at night because you're thinking about people worshiping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or that doesn't matter to you? Allah says, "Inna shirka la dhulmun azeem," but that doesn't concern me. I'm only concerned about what I see in the streets in front of me. I'm only concerned about what I value. When you hear that Muslims are committing adultery, that Muslim men are sleeping with Muslim women that are not from their families, that they are ruining other Muslim homes, are you bothered by that? Are you upset by that? Are you angered by that? Or is that okay because that's something you want? It's not my business. When Muslims are being killed in the streets by other Muslims, and you know them, and you know their families, you know their mothers and their grandmothers and their cousins and their aunts, are you bothered by that? Are you bothered that Muslims are spreading and shedding Muslim blood? When it comes to dishonesty in the workplace, are we bothered by that? We have to look at our values. We don't get caught up by society. We hate oppression, but we hate oppression in all of its forms, not some oppression as opposed to others. And we don't let other people dictate how we react, because sometimes the consequences for that can be dangerous. Musa alayhi salam was in a society that was oppressive. He saw his people, Banu Israel, being treated as slaves in the streets. And he was angered by that. And he was so angry one day that his emotion and his power got the better of him. And he killed a man. He killed a man. And at the moment that that man died, he felt regret and he felt remorse. And he committed himself to not letting his emotions ever get the best of him again. But that idea of killing someone, of letting his emotions get the better of him, it was an act that did not leave him until the day of judgment. As is mentioned in the long hadith connected with the day of judgment, hadith al-shafa'ah, al-uzma, the idea of the hadith connected with the great shafa'ah, the shafa'ah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he judged between the creation. That people will be waiting a long time. They will be standing a long time waiting to be judged. You see, like people right now in this COVID-19 situation, they've been sitting in their houses for a long time. And now they can't stand sitting in their houses anymore. We got to go out. I don't care about getting sick anymore. I don't care about illness anymore. I just can't stay in this house anymore, regardless of the danger. That's how people are going to be on the day of judgment. They're going to be standing and standing and standing. The kuffar, who know they will go to hell, they will be standing until the point that they say, "I can't stand anymore. Just judge me and get this over with. Allah, just judge me. Let the judgment finish, oh Allah. I can't stand standing anymore. Please." And then they will go to the prophets one by one. "Please just tell Allah to get the judgment over with. I can't stand this standing here. I can't stand waiting anymore." These events in this dunya, they should be reminders to us about the hereafter. On the day of judgment, the kuffar, everyone will go from prophet to prophet, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking the prophets to intercede with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for judgment to begin. And from the prophets that they will go to Musa alayhi salam. And they will say, "Musa," and they will mention his goodness. They will say, "Musa, you're the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to. You're the one that he gave the Torah to. Go speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on our behalf so the judgment will begin." And Musa will say, "I killed a man. I killed a soul that did not have the right to be killed. Nafsi, nafsi, go to someone else. I can't, how am I supposed to stand in front of Allah and reflect on the idea? He did that before he became a messenger. He killed a man before his risalah. Before he was chosen as a messenger. Before he was given the Torah. Before he suffered with Bani Israel and the Tih. In the wandering. Something that happened to him early in his life.
But on the day of judgment, that's going to be in the forefront of his mind. Why can I not intercede with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because there was one day. One day when I felt a certain way and I overreacted. I overreacted and I made a genuine mistake. Go to someone else. I can't help you. I got my own problems to deal with. Nafsi, nafsi. A person makes a decision. One decision at one moment in his life. And it can affect the rest of his life. And so the Muslim thinks. Muslim doesn't just react. He always looks at what is pleasing to Allah and what is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No matter how we feel, no matter what's going on, no matter what everyone else is doing, we're Muslim. And we have Muslim values, Islamic values. And that's what we bind ourselves to. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the oppression that afflicts us and that afflicts others. That we be just in and of ourselves, and that he establishes justice for the Muslims. That he forgive us our sins and our shortcomings. And that he helps us to do what is pleasing to him at all times. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam tasliman kathira. Brothers and sisters in Islam, when we look at society and we see how quickly things can change. A person is outside at the supermarket and all of a sudden there's a riot, there's looting, there's all types of things going on. It should remind us that there's no protection except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that a part of what protects us, a part of what we've been guided to, is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Because Allah is the greatest protector. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Allah is the greatest protector and he's the most merciful. And so from the protection that a Muslim seeks when he leaves his home is what has been established in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi or fi Jami' At-Tirmidhi in the hadith of Ummi Salama radiyallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he would say when he left his home, Bismillah, in the name of Allah. Because with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يضر بإسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء. There's no harm that can come to a person in the heavens and the earth. And no harm from the heavens and no harm from the earth can touch a person with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah. I have put my trust in Allah. That a person realizes no matter how much protection they have, in whatever form they have protection, that true protection is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That maybe that day that the car doesn't start, maybe that day that the person lost their keys and had to spend an extra 5 minutes looking for them, perhaps Allah was protecting you. That 5 minute delay that you had, Allah kept you from an accident out there that you didn't know was coming. He kept you from harm's way, some harm that you would have met in the streets if you had left 5 minutes earlier. Allah is the greatest protector. Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah. I put my trust in Allah. Wala hawla. وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And there's no change. There's no change from a bad situation to a good situation. And there's no power to bring about good except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith, this dua that has many different phrases, there's many different phrasings for the hadith, and there's additions and there's subtractions, but this is the part, inshallah, we'll start with this part. We can remember this part and say this part when we come out of our homes, inshallah. We've done something good. Bismillah. Tawakkaltu ala Allah, in the name of Allah, with the help of Allah, seeking Allah's help, seeking Allah's protection. Bismillah. Tawakkaltu. I put my trust. Tawakkaltu ala Allah. I put my trust upon Allah. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. And there's no change. And there's no power to bring about good except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we begin to give attention to these adhkar, that we sit an extra 10 minutes after the prayer, that before we leave our homes, that when we get in our cars, there are adhkar to be said in each of these moments, that the Prophet used to say, la abathan. It wasn't just an exercise in futility. It wasn't just to be doing something. The Prophet said these things to seek Allah's protection. And the Prophet ﷺ, if anyone was going to be protected naturally, then it's going to be the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Didn't Allah tell his Prophet, "Wallahu ya'simuka minan nas," and Allah will protect you from the people? Didn't he reveal that to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Nevertheless, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave attention to these adhkar. وَدَاوَمَ عَلَيْهَا, and he would say them daily, repeatedly. And so we, our sinful selves, our negligent selves, should we not give the same attention or greater attention to the adhkar of leaving our homes, and the adhkar of driving, and the adhkar of the morning, and the adhkar of the evening? When you say your home, when you leave your homes, excuse me, remember that you need Allah's protection. Teach yourselves, teach your children, teach your spouses, Bismillah. When you leave the home, before you open that door, Bismillah. Tawakkaltu ala Allah. Tawakkal, we know that word, tawakkal. Just put a two at the end of it. Tawakkaltu, Bismillah. Tawakkaltu ala Allah. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We ask Allah to protect us and protect our families from all fitna in all of its forms, from all oppression in all of its forms, to protect us from sin and to help us to be of those who seek forgiveness constantly. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِينَ عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, make us proud to be Muslim and help us to show that pride in Islam by reading the Quran and reading the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and implementing it in every aspect of our lives. وَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ